ministry leaders, from our 801 students, and internship supervisors say again and again in their churches all around, wherever our students are serving, that two things happen again and again and again. Scripture presentation comes to life, it bursts to life, and corporate prayer comes alive. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, may your word find a home in us, and may it dwell in us richly to the glory of your name. Amen. When Associate Chaplain Nancy Nethercott and I over the last few months were talking about seeking the Lord's direction for this series of chapel gatherings, we kept talking, this concept of holistic soul care kept coming back to us, and the key word flourish, which you'll find out more next week, towards the end of the week, about how that really burst into her consciousness and became a catalyst for many, many great things. And I think it is having its fruit here too now. But we kept kicking around the phrase, the missing jewel, that holistic healthcare is like a missing jewel in our lives. It's the one thing that is not getting talked about. How do we care for our souls, tend our souls, take care of ourselves? And we realized that this phrase has been used before. A.W. Tozer has a book called Worship, the Missing Jewel of the Evangelical Church. And Tozer, I think, passed away sometime in the mid to late 60s. We couldn't find an actual publication date for Worship, the Missing Jewel, but he gave a talk to a pastor's gathering at some point, perhaps in the 50s or 60s, where this was the title. And I don't know if this was developed into a book after his passing, but when Bob Weber, our late founder, wrote his Alleluia series in the 90s, he borrowed that same phrase and talked about, he had a book in that series called Rediscovering the Missing Jewel in the 1990s. If worship is the missing jewel in the evangelical church, and I think a great argument can be made that it is, and probably not just confined to evangelicals, but perhaps the church more broadly, then holistic healthcare is the missing jewel in the life of the disciple. It's the missing jewel in our everyday lives, our everyday walk with Jesus. You know, there are things that we do for our physical health. We don't always do them. I don't always do them, but we know what they are. We can take care about what our diet is, what we ingest, what we put into ourselves. Not only what we put into ourselves, but how much of it we put into ourselves and at what rate we do it. Exercise. Don't kill yourself with exercise, but you need exercise. If you don't move it, you lose it. If you don't keep moving, you atrophy. And there are specific exercises that can be done to strengthen various parts of the body. And if you are a sports person, an athlete or a dancer, there are certain exercises you can do, repeated exercises. They say that muscles have memory, practice makes permanent, that if you keep doing this exercise again and again, your muscles remember, and then you can do it without thinking. When you see those perfectly executed double plays on a baseball diamond, or the rare triple play that happens, it's like ballet taking place on a field. Or if you watch a basketball team moving up and down, passing the ball, it's just, if you watch a ballet troupe on stage performing a dance, it's just amazing because they have rehearsed, disciplined themselves, exercised, and then they just do it and it flows like poetry. They do it without thinking. Well, the Lord has given us in his word a series of disciplines, things that we can do that if we do them over and over and over, if we practice them, these exercises, these habits, then they shape who we are, and we can begin to do them without thinking. The list might surprise you, and there have been a lot of great books written about the spiritual disciplines. Some of the best-known ones are probably Foster, Celebration of Discipline, Dallas Willard, Spirit of the Disciplines. These are wonderful, wonderful books. But the list includes these things, and some will surprise you. Some won't, but some will. Prayer, fasting, giving or generosity, meditation, solitude, like Nancy talked about yesterday in the life of Jesus. He would take time away from the adulation of the crowds, from the work of healing, the work of caring for people, the work of teaching, and steal away and get some solitude. Confession, worship, fellowship, rest. Remember, we worship our work, work at our play, play at our worship, but when do we rest? When do we rest? And Sabbath is a huge deal in God's design and his plan for all of us. Sabbath. Service, just serving other people. Lectio Divina, dwelling in the Word and letting the Word dwell in you. Not hurriedly through, not just doing a Bible study, but just letting the Word dwell in us. Visio Divina. And that's a phrase that I haven't heard too many times, but seeing an image that speaks to you of the heavenly, of what God is saying to you, and dwelling on that. We are surrounded by it here. Those of us who speak or lead from the front, look at what we have to look at while we're ministering. We're seeing Jesus with outstretched hands, outstretched arms. If you look at that one up there, the burning bush, this church burned. I don't know what year it was, but it burned down one Christmas Eve. They didn't bury that part of their story or try to forget it. They put it in their surrounding. They owned their story. That's Visio Divina right there. All of this around us. And these are not just pretty things to decorate, but they are windows to look into eternity. Other things, chastity, celibacy. Well, maybe some of those disciplines aren't for everyone. But I want to dwell on three, the three main ones that Jesus addressed in Matthew 6, in the scripture we talked about this morning. Prayer, fasting, and giving. Those are the three most common ones that most of us can practice. And it can be argued, Jesus didn't say, if you pray, pray like this. If you fast, fast like this. If you give, do it this way. No, he said, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. There's an assumption that his followers would follow in his steps and pray and fast and give. I would like to suggest that prayer and fasting and giving are a kind of set of exercises that are antidotes to the three areas of our most common temptation. Prayer militates against the pride of life. And these are mentioned in 1 John 2:16. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Prayer militates against the pride of life because we're admitting we need help. We don't have it all together ourselves. Fasting militates against the lust of the flesh. It just does. If we deprive ourselves of something intentionally from time to time, it helps keep our flesh in check. Giving is an antidote for the lust of the eyes. We give something away to someone else rather than spending it on our own desires, our own comforts, the things that we want. And if you think about it, those are the three areas where the tempter tempted the Lord Jesus in the wilderness temptations. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. The Lord wants us to flourish. He wants us to prosper as our soul prospers. He wants our souls to thrive. And we're given the disciplines, the exercises, the habits as an opportunity to learn how to flourish, how to prosper. Let's prepare our hearts for a short season of silence.